All right, well, I'm going to do a small series from a book that I was introduced to at a conference with Pastor. It was written by Dr. Walt Brock, and it's called Dangerous Parenting Detours. I've emailed him and asked him if it was okay to share some of these things. Haven't heard back, so if he emails me back and says I can't, then I'll stop the series. But I'm pretty sure he won't. He's very pro churches having what they need and things of that nature. But anyway, if next week it's a brand new topic, you know why. Also might be able to, I'd like to try to buy a few copies to give to any parent that's interested or would like to. Now, he's a, Ironwood Ministries is out in the West. They have a really neat camp out there. They have a lot of horseback riding. Not my specialty at all. I've ridden a horse like one time. That was at the Bill Rice Ranch. I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew that it was very painful. And I was on that side just creeping along, and I was way in the back because every time he started running, I was just in a lot of pain. And the ranch hand guy came by and said, "Hey, you got to get moving," and hit the horse in the rear end. And I'm like, you know, and Mallory was probably like, "What is this guy doing?" Because Mallory is the expert at the horseback riding. But once I got out there to the woods and they had this ribeye steak breakfast, I forgot all about the horse. And as Kevin Gower says, "Hey, burner." And Allie back there, she's the horse magnate as well, but not me. But anyway, they have all kinds of neat things like that out there. He's been in ministry for many, many years. He has good material on leadership. He has excellent materials on parenting, how to teach responsibility, how to teach obedience. He has a lot of excellent materials and books. I encourage you to look it up and maybe order some for yourself. If you need any more information about that, just let me know. But what he did in this book was he wrote about, again, from this isn't, you know, a lot of times we look at the children and we got to, you know, go after the children, you need to preach and things like that and give the children what they need. And I understand that. That's perfectly good. But a lot of times we don't realize, and I've been very convicted going through this book. I'm like, wow, I've probably failed on all 10 detours as a parent. It's just some excellent material that we as parents sometimes, see, here's the road ahead of us. And we know, you know, here's the good way, walk you in it. Here's where we want our children, our family to go. But then we're the ones that put up detour signs and get them off of that. And we don't even realize it. So what kind of things have we perhaps done as parents that have caused a detour, maybe a circuitous route? So I'll go through a few things and hopefully you'll be able to follow along a little bit with some of the things we're going to talk about. Well, I remember as a kid, I didn't grow up in the days of the GPS. I was talking to the high school about this. They just cannot fathom a world where you had a map, okay? I mean, I loved it. I'm analytical, I guess. I loved maps. My grandma lived about 8 hours away in the mountains of Maryland near West Virginia. And so my dad, I don't know how, but he just magically knew the way. I mean, he used to be a traveling evangelist. I guess he knew all about it. I'd be sitting in the back. I said, "Dad, I want to use the Atlas." And I would follow, and I'm looking at road signs, and I'm seeing where we're going. I'm like, "Oh, Dad's probably going to take this road next." And he did, and I was like, "Yes, I got it." You know, and he just knew where he was going. I guess, and he didn't need a map because he'd driven that road so many times. But I would follow the map, or I enjoyed buying. I used to drive to Raleigh to work an hour one way every day in a massive paint van with 80 feet of ladder stacked on top, going down the 90 mile an hour freight train that is I-40. And I would think, man, I got to find a back way that's even faster. So I'd buy the county map that had like the details of every single road on it, and I'd look and I'd map some route. I saved 5 minutes, yes, or I saved 1 minute, you know, or whatever. So proud of myself, you know, and I enjoy looking at maps and finding different ways. Today, I mean, and I get it, you know, it's easy. We sit there and just turn left. We turn left when it tells us to turn left, or we turn right when it says to turn right. And sometimes I'm looking at it like there's five roads going this way. Which one is highlighted? Okay, there we go. I'm on it, you know, and oops, I took the wrong one. Sometimes if I know the road says 85 South, all I have to do is look at it. But no, I'm so enamored with the GPS that I get confused. And I end up on 85 North or something like that. But anyway, we take detours. I remember as a kid, we would go the same way to work every day. But then when they were doing a road project, they'd have that hideous orange sign, detour ahead, or those, you know, those things they put in the middle of the road with the flashing lights that say detour, turn this way. And you'd have to turn off of that road and go all over creation and then back to the road and you're finally good. But you added 10 to 15 minutes to your trip. It wasn't as efficient as it should have been. Or if you're driving, or some of you do a lot of interstate traveling, when we go back to visit my family, I hate that drive, but it's the way it is. And there's like a car accident or something. And I'm always like, Megan gets mad because I'm like, looking at my phone, looking at all the different routes that I could go, this side road to this one, to that one, and get back on the interstate and pass all those people. And then 2 hours later, I'm back on the interstate, and those people are an hour ahead of me. You know how that goes, but it's like, I did it! Yes! You know, no, I didn't do it. It was terrible. I took a detour, and it cost me probably a lot more fuel, a lot more time. I had to listen to my kids in the back, are we there yet? Even longer, and those kind of things. It makes the trip horrible when we have to go on detours. It costs time. It costs money. We don't enjoy that. We like knowing the fastest way to get there, and then we go for it and we get there. Of course, any trip today is going to cost you money. Gas went up like 20 cents in Friday, so I'm not going to, we'll have to get off that. I'll get angry. Deviate from a direct course. I've got the direct course, but the word detour literally has the idea of taking a route that is not as efficient. Circuitous, maybe. It's more painful. There might be other problems that come along the way. Things that we don't expect, but we take that route, we deviate from the course, and eventually we might get back onto it, which is good. You know, that kind of symbolizes many times situations in our own life. Here's the way the Bible says to do something, but yet we in our mind and in our pride many times, we think, I got this other way, and I think I can make it work. So even as Christians, I'm not saying we're not believers, as Christians we do this. We get off the path, we go for a while, then we realize, oh, oops. Like Pilgrim's Progress, you know, many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress, and they got off the road sometimes and went over to Doubtful Castle and all the meadows and the Slough of Despond and just kind of got off track a little bit. Eventually got back on track, which is God's grace and mercy to get us back on track. But look at all the waste, all the problems that we have. And what we're going to look at in this study is the problems that maybe it's going to cause our kids, the problems it's going to cause our family. That we unknowingly, that we don't even think of many times. So do we unknowingly post detour signs that affect our family? Because of our own shortcomings, because of our own sin, our own pride of wanting to do something a certain way, and we don't even realize the effect that it has on our children. So I don't know about you, but just that statement alone makes me say I'm guilty. Maybe I'm the only one, I don't know. But I'm guilty, I tell you. You look at it and it's convicting. Lord, how many times have I been a roadblock or a deviation for my own children? When I kind of did what I wanted instead of doing what God's Word wanted. When I got angry, Jared will tell you, I never get angry. I never lose my temper, and those kind of things. And I always talk to him very calmly. You know, he gets in trouble at school. I'm always very quiet and calm and... Yeah, y'all are loud. I'm a liar. I'm a great liar. I'm a great liar. But, you know, and sometimes we act in certain ways or do certain things and we don't even realize, oh, look what just happened maybe to my family. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 21. Let's go to actually start in verse number 20. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, the water of affliction, we're going through difficulties, especially talking to Israel here, but it applies to us. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Well, that's just plain and simple, isn't it? This is the road, this is the way, it's right before you, it's been outlined for you by God's Word, it's been outlined by your teachers and those that care about you, by your parents, by your pastors, whoever you want to fill in the blank with, that have helped you understand the direction and the way and the road. Walk ye in it. It's simply just go in that road. But notice the end of the verse. When you turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, ye shall defile the covering of thy graven image, etc., etc. When we go to the left or to the right, when we go the detour route, that's where we have some problems that come up. Here's the way. Just go in that way. I'll go over to Jeremiah chapter 6, a few pages over. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16. We know this verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We all know what the Lord wants us to do. We know the path from God's Word, basically. It's been outlined, it's been given to us. The problem is we aren't studying it. We aren't wanting to know what it is. We're just going and doing our own thing. and refusing, like Israel here, everything was laid out perfectly for them. The covenants, the laws, the statutes, everything that they had to follow, here is this good way, walk in it. You're going to have rest there. It's going to be God's provision, God's hand on you there. But I'm not going there. I refuse to walk in that way. I am not going to do and go down the road that God has given to me. I'm going to find an easier alternative. I'm going to go in a different direction. And so we have this rebellion or this pride in our hearts to go where we want to go. So there's about 10 in this study. There's about 10 detours. And, you know, we were talking about alliteration and stuff the other night, but these are all alliterated detours that begin with D. So this is what Dr. Brock did, and it was actually very good. It kind of flows together and helps you learn. So we're going to try to cover one or two of them today, but you know me. We will hopefully get to the end of that for today. Here's the first one. It is simply delayed discernment. Delayed discernment. And we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you turn there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's talk real quick about discernment. And then what do we mean by delayed discernment? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Prove or test everything to see what is good or bad in it, and then make your decision. That's simply, in a nutshell, discernment. Evaluate something biblically, and then make a choice based on that evaluation. Evaluate, decide, act. We don't live in this mindset anymore, sadly. Many times, we simply just say, there's that, I'm just going to do it. Everybody else is going and doing that. You know, but young people say this all the time. Well, so-and-so was, and everybody else is, and it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. Who cares? Blah, all those things that we throw out and try to justify what we do. When we are not following the biblical process of discernment, it is a biblical process. It requires me to study. It requires me to think. It requires me to figure out what God's Word says. And then make a decision on that, and then to act. So it says to prove and test all things, hold fast, and as you evaluate, there's two criteria here. Hold fast to what is good. So if it's something good, you better not let it go. If it's good, you better do it. And then abstain from all appearance of evil. Sometimes I have young people say, well, why can't I do that? Sometimes we say, well, it doesn't look good. Well, I didn't mean it that way. That's fine. But people look at it, they think it's evil, and maybe you might be a stumbling block to them. We've got to be careful of those things. We've got to evaluate what is going to happen here. The hard part is the evaluation. And that's where we need the discernment of the Lord. So let's talk about a few things here. We're basically talking about, am I able to look at something, learn from my mistakes in the past, and be able to evaluate or tell, if I have discernment, I'm able to guide my children to what we're going to talk about in a minute, to the whys of things. So our lack of discernment as parents leads to children not apprehending or understanding the biblical explanations of truth. We should want to come to a point, yes, when they're young, we try to teach, you know, voice obedience, obey, follow. But I tell you what, when they start getting older, do you want robots? Because a robot will graduate from high school and then be like, well, I don't know why I did that, I'm just going to do this instead. If we as parents don't have discernment into why we do something, and so we raise these kids that are, oh, they're following XYZ, they're following this list of ABC through X, Y, whatever. They're doing it all. But I've never taken the time as a parent, because I personally have never done this in God's Word. If we as parents are not studying God's Word, discerning what is right and wrong in situations so that we can teach our children why, then we have delayed discernment, and that's going to trickle down to them, and we wonder why they aren't following the Lord. Why are there generations of young people, you can look at the statistics, that are leaving the church and want nothing to do with it? There's the rise of what's called the nuns, not the N-U-N-S, but we talked about that about 5 or 6 years ago, the N-O-N-E-S. Segment of society that's not atheistic, they're not Christian, they're not agnostics, they're just none of the above. They're the nuns. You can do the study. There's statistical surveys done by the pollsters and the Christian one. His name slipped me, but they do all kinds of studies like that. And they're worried about the rise of this group of people. They just don't care. Why are they leaving the church? Because the parents had delayed discernment and didn't teach them what they ought to do. Why should they do this? What is in God's Word that can convince or persuade or show or give them a criteria about evaluating right and wrong? If we're delayed, then they are going to be as well. Are we able to teach the wise from the Bible? If I look at a situation, and people may evaluate situations differently, there are certain things that people evaluate differently. But do I look at it and say, which avenue is going to be more pleasing to God? Do we ever ask ourselves that question? I don't think we do. I talk to young people about this. And sometimes they come to me and they're struggling with decisions that they need to make, or I don't know what to do, or I don't know what to do about this relationship. I don't know what to do for this with college. I don't know what to do in this situation with my friends. And I always tell them, you need to think about what you're saying and think, which avenue benefits me spiritually? We don't think that way anymore. We think, which one makes me feel good? Which one makes me happy? Which one allows me to follow my heart? Which one draws you closer to the Lord? We don't, and sometimes young people, their eyes get this big. I never thought about that. I was talking to a person a few weeks ago about a relationship they had in their life of some friends, and they didn't know what to do. And I said, is the relationship helping you spiritually or dragging you down? And they're like, it's dragging me down. I said, well, there's your answer. And they're like, oh. So they changed it. We don't think that way anymore. We think, how can I be happy? And sadly, we've got this generation of parents today, and we see it in the school all the time. We've got kids raising kids. And it makes our job as teachers and administrators and principals very difficult because they have zero discernment. Zero. Here, 4-year-old, here's your iPhone 13 with unlimited data. Sadly, it's even, you better be careful with even 12 and 13. You ever taken your kid's phone and went through it? You invaded my privacy, right, Jared? Sorry, bud. He's here today, so I get to pick on Jared, but he's not the only one. We might be shocked. I find things sometimes I say, you're not allowed to text that person anymore. If that's what they're going to do, we're done. Over. And you can give me that for a month. Do we ever look? We can't just, here you go. It's sad. We have 5-year-olds that come to school that are addicted to YouTube. Parents let them watch whatever they want. Whatever they want. And you can about imagine the gamut of what's seen. Where's the discernment? Because we've got kids raising kids. They don't have discernment. They just want to get home and do whatever and leave me alone. And you're like, yeah, whatever you want, I'm just going to give it to you. Whatever you want, just have it. No big deal. Our job as parents is not to give what they want. It's not to make our kids so happy. Our job is to prepare them spiritually to serve God. And boy, failure after failure in my life. That's our job. That is our responsibility, our duty, and we've got to have discernment if we're going to do it. We've got to know what we believe and why we believe it. Don't go out living for yourself, living for the world, and then magically think your kids are going to turn out wonderful somehow. They're going to follow what you do. And you're setting them up for failure because they'll go farther than you did. Hebrews chapter 5 is where we're going to go. Hebrews chapter 5, we talk about discernment. We have a generation that doesn't no discernment. They don't know what they believe or why they believe it. They just went and had kids, and now it's like, oh, well, whatever. They can do whatever. And by the way, they're never wrong. It's sad. The world really wants our kids. The devil wants them. And he wants them really bad because he hates the things of the Lord. And if we don't at least have discernment to try and say, Lord, we've got to get them, here's the way, walk you in it, and here's why we walk in it. Not because mom and dad said so. Because here's what the Bible says about this topic. Here's what the Bible says about this topic over here. Do we ever approach things spiritually? Hebrews chapter 5, let's look at verse 11. I think it's the Apostle Paul, but I'm going to be wrong. It doesn't matter, really. It doesn't matter. What matters is it's in God's Word. He gave it to us, verse 11. Well, verse 10, he says, called to be of God in order, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He wants to go on and expound about this, some pretty deep stuff. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. That word dull means you're slow and you fail to hear. It's being said, but you just aren't hearing it. You aren't understanding it. You know why? Here's why, verse 12. Here's why you don't hear God's word and understand God's word. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, time for you to be a parent. Time for you to be a literal teacher, maybe in a school. Time for you to be a youth pastor. Time for you to be a worker with the kids in whatever club or group. It's time for you to step up and you to be the teacher. But you have need that one teaches you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You don't even understand the milk of God's word, and that's what these young people need. And since you don't understand it, you can't explain it. We live in generations of no spiritual discernment, no spiritual growth, no spiritual maturity. We should be, after we've known the Lord for a long time, I tell you, it scares me. I've been a professed belief in Christ since I was 5 years old. I remember the day like it was yesterday. 37 years. And sometimes I say, Lord, why am I still on milk in this area? Boy, it's bad. It's faulty. It's wrong. It's weak. And we should be on the strong meat. Verse 13. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful. They're not experienced in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. We've got babes in Christ trying to teach babes in Christ. It doesn't work. Verse 14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those, which means mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to do what? There's our word. Discern good and evil. It's this simple. If we aren't exercising with this, we will have zero discernment. I'm getting old now. I used to run with Roger. We used to run 5K twice a week. I really enjoyed it those long, long years ago in my 20s when I was a lot skinnier and felt healthy. Great times. Loved it. I even had a gym membership one time. Worked out. It was awesome. Felt great. The busier I got and the older I got, guess what? My motivation went, I would love to go and run, I think. But then after I do it for about 10 minutes, I'm like, why am I doing this? My knees hurt. Stop. Oh, I'm not like Mike Whitney anymore. They get me out there playing basketball with them bunch of nummies, and I'm running full court about to die. They're like, come on, one more game, what? Yeah, no. I'm going home now. I've got my one or two games in, and I'm good. I'm going to go home and ice up and all the other things we need to do. The point is, with our, it's literally like a sports exercise analogy here. To exercise, it means we got to use it. If, you know, you hear that, if you don't use it, you lose it kind of thing. We have to actually go through the rigor because, oh, it's really fun to exercise, right? We all love that, don't we? You know, you see these videos, these bodybuilders, they're in such pain and it hurts them. lifting up all these weights and muscles and deadlifting and all this stuff. And I'm like, I watch Zachary. He's unbelievable. And I tell you, you know, does all this heavy, cool stuff. I can't even lift up 60 pounds, much less 600 that Zach's doing, I'm telling you. But, you know, he's been through a lot of training to do that. And was the training easy? No. It takes dedication. Get up and go to the gym or go to the workout station every day at this time and work out this group and follow the schedule. It's rigorous. We don't like to do it. It does. It does. Because we all get old. But it does profit some. But we do all that, and what I'm trying to say is the analogy is it's not easy. It takes dedication. It takes a commitment. And it's hard. You want to exercise in God's Word? It's hard. It takes commitment. It takes dedication. And the longer we live in this world, the harder it's getting. Because we got a lot of distractions, don't we? It's hard. And I've got all these things. This, you know, the social media now. We didn't have that when I was a kid. I tell you, I feel for you teens. I don't know what else to say. We got ourselves in plenty of trouble, and we were plenty distracted from spiritual things, and we had struggled with the world just like teens do today, but we didn't have all this stuff you have that makes it a billion times easier to fulfill and satisfy your flesh. He wants to destroy you. So it's hard to have your senses exercised. It's hard to go lift the weights of God's Word. It's hard to get on the treadmill of God's Word or the hydro rowing machine or the bicycle or whatever it is of God's Word. It's hard to do that. It takes time. You got to carve the time out. It takes commitment. It takes consistency. And boy, are we far short. Our lives are full of so many different things. But what that will do will build our discernment so when the time comes that I'm ready to be a teacher, I know what to say. I know how to explain to my kids, here's why. And because we don't have discernment, we go off the trail, we got this little detour going on because we don't have discernment. We don't know why we believe right and wrong. We're just doing it because, well, mom and dad said I should do that back when I was 15 years old, so I just keep doing it. I have no idea. I tell kids at school this all the time when I used to teach Bible quite a bit. And there's some things, you know, that you have opinions on or whatever. And I always tell the kids here's the thing. You go study that out so that you know why you believe what you believe. Because if you don't know why, you're going to go out into the world and the first other philosophy that comes across your path is going to shatter your world. And you're just going to go for it. There's been many graduate from a Christian school and have refused. We know some that just they don't care anymore. And sometimes they don't graduate because we can't keep them that way. They don't know why. They don't have a Bible. You know, we teach a couple biblical worldview classes, and it's been encouraging. In the middle school, so many of them have had questions, unbelievable questions. Questions that I never would have asked when I was a teenager. They weren't even things on the radar when I was a teenager. You didn't talk about gender identity back in the 90s. I was going to be honest with you. Now it's so common. I had a parent that was looking to get their kid in our school and said, we can't deal with it anymore. And all that they talk about all day is what gender are you? What gender are you? What gender are you? It's all the kids talk about all day in the hall. My kid comes home, that's all they know about. This is our day. Now, that's just one of like a billion topics. Why do we believe what we believe? What does God's Word say about it? Because, I mean, I can go and say, well, son, that's just because I said so. Now, there's some things I have to say that, right, Jared? But, you know, the older, I'm going to pick on Jared today. The older Jared gets, he and I have conversations about stuff. Well, why? And I understand he's a little frustrated. I was when I was a teenager. Nothing wrong with that. But a lot of times we talk it out and I see him go, I see that. Why? And sometimes we're like, I'm the parent and I said so. Okay, that's good. You can say that. But if they don't know why, we're setting them up for failure. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I've had kids in school ask me this, but my parents believe this. What do? I say, you honor your parents and you respect them, number one. Don't you ever disrespect your parents and go against them. But you need to form your beliefs based on God's Word, because one day you're going to be 18 or whatever it is, and you're going to be on your own. And you are going to answer to God for what you believe, not for what your parents told you to believe. Now, I tell them, don't go against your parents. You honor and respect your parents. And if you believe a little differently or whatever, because they have good questions and things, you keep it to yourself. Don't cause a rebellious attitude toward your parents. But the time's coming where you've got to be able to say why. Evaluate, and that's where we need discernment. Let's move on. How do we evaluate? I'm going to give you some things, and I'm going to mention some things that Dr. Brock had here in this book. How do we build discernment? Some practical things. Well, first we've got to answer some prerequisite, preliminary type questions like, am I sure I'm a believer? I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not a believer in Christ, you will never have spiritual discernment. I say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man knoweth not the things of God. Well, let's go there. 1 Corinthians. Flip back a few pages. I want to make sure I word it right. Chapter 2. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. If our young people, our kids, our children do not believe in Christ, they will never have spiritual discernment, no matter how much you have. That's the preliminary question. Here's another preliminary question. Well, I put a few up, actually. Sorry about that. Can I go God's way if it differs from mine? That right there is where probably 90% of us just, because I know what I like, and I know what I like to do, but if God's Word says we should go this way, then I start coming up with reasons, right? I start coming up with justifications, explanations of why, yeah, but here's the way I like. If it differs from God's way and God's Word, I better be willing to change. If you're not willing to accept that, if you're not willing to be confronted with God's Word and change, then there's no reason even talking about discernment. Here's another one. Will I study and pray honestly? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Which means I'm scared to death I'm going to get it wrong. We better study and pray honestly. And then, am I willing to change, or am I willing to pay the price? If I'm not willing to conform to God's Word, it's not even worth talking about discernment. It's not worth it. I got to start with these preliminary questions and be able to say, yes, Lord, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, I'm willing to change because I want to be conformed to what you are. No matter what the world's doing and what my friends are doing and what everybody else is saying, I'm willing. Second step, follow biblical guidelines. Well, here's some guidelines about discernment. Let's go quickly through them with some verses. We got to pray. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Philippians. Notice how prayer is used in this context. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Here's what Paul's praying for them, that you may approve things that are excellent. That means to test them and discern them. And find the excellent and follow that. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Is that what we even desire? Do we desire to be sincere and genuine? Do we desire to be without offense to other people? Without offense to the things of God until the day of Christ. Here's another one. Real quick, I'm going to go quickly through these. Obey what you already know. The Bible says in James chapter 1 to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Go ahead and obey what you already know is right. If you know something is right, then don't disobey God's Word. Here's another way. Ask for spiritual advice. Now, you can ask, young people can go ask their friends. That may not be the best option. Okay, just going to lay that out there. Your friends are going to tell you what you want to hear. Many times friends don't want to make you mad. They want to be buddies. They want to get along. You got to go ask somebody that's going to tell you the cold, hard truth. Someone that doesn't like you maybe or something. Sometimes when I'm grading papers in class, we take a little quiz and I say, all right, trade papers with somebody that hates you. And the kids all chuckle because they know I'm messing around. But I'm like, I don't want your best friend grading your paper, you know. You know, go ask somebody that you know is just going to lay it out to you. Mom and dad, are you trying to be buddies? You don't want to hurt teenagers' feelings because we're friends now. Are you just going to say what reality is? Here's what the Bible says. You may get mad at me. You may not understand, but here's what the Bible says that you need to do. Go ask for advice from those that can give it well. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that. There's some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build you up. Go ask people that are going to build you up. Of course, pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance. We don't have time to get into that. And also study the Scriptures. In order to evaluate principles, we've got to pray. We've got to follow what we already know. We've got to ask for spiritual advice. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, and He will. And we better be studying the Scriptures, not everything else that's out there to offer. And it will help us to grow spiritually. To grow spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 3 was a theme verse we had about 5 years ago. Grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. And if we're doing those things, if growing spiritually is on my mind, then you have a higher probability of actually growing. You're worried about it. You're concerned about it. If you just live in the I don't care type of mentality, then you're going to have an I don't care type of Christian life. Got to stop quickly, but here's the last thing. Formulate principles. We formulate principles. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Remember, all Scripture is given inspiration from God. It's proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. What does it say? What does the Bible say? What do I need to repent of? Reproof. What am I willing to do to change it? Boy, this is the Christian life in a nutshell, isn't it? If this isn't your Christian life, then you are not growing. Because God's Word confronts you and says, here's what you need to do. And I'm wrong. Lord, forgive me. Help me to grow. Help me to correct what I'm doing. And an instruction means I got to have the discipline to carry it out in righteousness. I can't just say, yep, that's what God wants me to do, but now I got to do it. It takes a discipline to do that. We're almost finished. And I can put some of these back up tomorrow or print them out if you need to. If you have delayed discernment, there will be no belief or convictions given to the next generation. They don't know the why. Children will not know why. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 20. Remember that passage? Let's close with that quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is where they say, you know, to put everything on the doors of your house and on the post and everywhere. So the kids are seeing the commandments of the Lord. But remember, it's not just mere commandments. Chapter 6, verse number 20. That when thy son asketh thee in time to come, in the future, saying, what mean the testimonies, statutes, judgments? That's the why. If we can't answer the why as parents, we are putting up a detour for our kids that will get them off of the way of truth. We're putting up the detour because we don't have spiritual discernment. It's delayed. We're like immature Christians. We're not willing to grow. We're not willing to change. We're not willing to listen to God's Word. We can't explain why to them. So they're not even going to care. They're just going to say, well, my parents told me to do this. Now that I'm out on my own, I don't have to do that anymore. I'm just going to do what I want. And that's exactly what will happen. Lord, help us to not have a delayed discernment. Next week, assuming that we aren't going a different direction, we're going to talk about this one. And this one's really hard. This one was very convicting to me. Defiling bitterness. Because if we have bitterness as parents, guess what? Big time detour for kids. Huge. They see it. We'll get there next week. Father, just help us as we Continue to live for you and serve you. Help us as parents, Father. We're so convicted of our needs. Help us to follow with your word and in your path, to know the whys and the reasons and be able to explain those carefully to our children so that they can work out their own salvation with fear and trembling and to honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention.